Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And boy, I appreciate that. Good, that encouraged my heart tonight, amen. Good singing choir. Thank you for being in your place. And we're looking forward to what God has for us this weekend. Don't forget our youth rally on Saturday night. We're going to start at 5 o'clock. And we're serving a meal, but it's going to be to-go style. What that means is we need folks to help us out in that regard too, as far as serving on Saturday. We'll say more about that at the end of the service, but we're looking forward to it. But Keith Vols will be here preaching, and we're excited about what God has for us. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, things of that nature, but me and Brother Keith talked two or three times this week, and he said, "Preacher, I'll do whatever." I said, "Brother, just go ahead and come on." Our youth choir we had scheduled is not going to be able to come because they're not singing in their church yet, and I understand that completely. They need to sing in their church first when their pastor gives them the go-ahead, and that's fine. I said, "What's going to happen? Whoever comes, amen." And I actually heard from about five groups today, so we should have a good little crowd here Saturday. But you need to be here, be in your place, and make sure you get all your dollar store stuff off your pew tonight, all right? Because we're going to be having a cleaning here Friday night, and we're going to be taking care of that. We're going to start between where my wife go out and smoke, or where'd she go? Honey, what time are we starting? Between 5 and 6? Is that what she said? Okay, so I think we'll start between 5 and 6 Friday night. And we will have some supper here on Friday night for those that come and help clean. That way we know you'll be working during supper time, and that way which I'll be a blessing. We're going to try to get some cleaning done we needed to do back in spring. And there's been a virus going on, if y'all heard about that, and that kind of hindered a few things from getting done. And so we're going to try to take care of that Saturday night. We're going to have everything set up as far as the serving tables, and looking forward to it. 2 Timothy chapter 9, we're going to be in chapter 4 tonight, but let's read our text here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then we'll get into chapter 4, and I'll conclude my third series of the year. I'm so proud, but the right kind of proud, amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despised of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Lord, I want to say thank you for the opportunity you've given us to gather back in your house tonight on this Wednesday evening. Thank you, Lord, for the good choir singing. Lord, how that encouraged and strengthened my heart tonight. Lord, as we open up your word, I pray you touch us and anoint us. I pray you get glory to yourself. I pray you be magnified in all that's said and done. We'll love you and thank you for all you do. But we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've been preaching the last three midweek services here out of the book of 2 Timothy, taking a chapter a night. We've been preaching a little series entitled "Welcome to the Last Days." With all the craziness going on in this world, I've heard people say, there's actually one preacher I know called another man, didn't know the preacher personally, but called a man that I know, and said, "Preacher, have we been wrong about this? Are we in the tribulation period? Was I wrong?" He said, "No, you're not wrong." He said, "We're not in the tribulation period." He said, "You think it's bad right now? You just wait until the tribulation period gets here." But we are living in the last days, and I believe I can prove to you from Scripture, reading 2 Timothy chapter number 3, that these are the last days. I know everybody in the Carolinas went crazy on Sunday when we had a little earthquake, and they said, "See, it's signs of the Lord's return." I got news for you. They've been having earthquakes for years. Just because it happened in Carolina, we think he's coming right now. He could come right now, but I don't need signs. I got the Scriptures, amen. And the Scripture said, "Looking for that blessed hope," amen. I ain't got to look for a sign. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I like sitting around debating on who do you think the Antichrist is and all. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But I really couldn't care less who he is, amen.
says, I'm not worried about Him. I won't see Him. I am looking for the Christ, the blessed hope, Paul called it in the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13. But truly we are living in the last days. In fact, Paul said in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous means dangerous, difficult, troublesome, and certainly that is the day and age we are living in. I mean, we're learning so many crazy things going on, social distancing. Brother Steve was telling me coming in, and by the way, I've been practicing social distancing for a long time, amen. There's some people you don't want to shake your hand, amen. Look at President Trump. He didn't want to shake Pelosi's hand. He is practicing social distancing before it's popular, amen. But anyway, what was I trying to say? I said something about Trump, got me all messed up, amen. I told Brother Steve coming in, and there's a church out in California, they put padlocks on their doors because they had church. I don't care for John MacArthur, he's a hyper-Calvinist and don't believe things right, but I did like what he did say Sunday morning. He got it in front of his church. He says, welcome to Grace Community Church. He runs several thousand. He said, this is a peaceful protest. Amen. I said, I don't like him, but I like that right there. Amen. And it's just so crazy, the things we're seeing in this world. Heard a 79-year-old preacher get up this morning, and he preached on the Chinese virus. Amen. I enjoyed every second. It is a blessing. But he said this, and I believe it's right. He said, this virus is the judgment of God on America. Because we've turned our face at God. This is the judgment of God on our country. I believe that man was right. I believe he is telling the truth. And certainly these are the last days. We could talk all night about the characteristics of the last days and the culture of the last days and the conflict in the last days. But I want to know how I'm supposed to respond in the last days. How am I supposed to live? You know, a lot of people, they're running around in fear and running around scared to death. I understand. We've said this a million times over the last 6 months. I understand being cautious and things of that nature. But I do not believe. In fact, I know it is not the will of God for His people to live in a state of fear. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. And so, how am I going to respond? Well, some are responding with compromise in the last days. They're letting down their standards and they're backing up and they're quitting. I got news for you. If they can get this crowd to run around wear a mask, I wish they'd get people to put some clothes on. Amen. I don't understand this. I saw this woman the other day. She wasn't a lady. She was a woman. She had run around and had a mask on, but had shorty shorts on. And I said, my soul, man, I wish the governor would say something about that. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm just saying it's a wicked day we're living in. But how am I respond? Compromise? Absolutely not. Some will respond with conformity. They're just blending in and just trying to be acceptable and don't want to rock the boat or anything like that. But that's not me tonight. Amen. I believe you know me better than that. Some are responding with complacency. They just don't care. It's our four and no more. And that's for sure. I mean, that's all they're worried about. But that's not me. I don't want to respond with compromise. I don't want to respond with conformity. I don't want to respond with complacency, but I want to respond with Christianity. I want to be what God designed for me to be. And so we've been looking here at the book of 2 Timothy. We looked at chapter number 1 and said in these last days our salvation needs to be personal, our stirring needs to be promoted, and our persuasion needs to be settled, and many things we can say. Chapter 2, we talk about being a soldier in the war and a student in the Word, have been sanctified in our walk. Last week we talked in chapter 3 about having the discernment in our spirit, having a diligence in our soul, and depending on the Scriptures. But tonight I want to look at chapter number 4. As far as we know, this is the last chapter that the Apostle Paul writes before he loses his head on Nero's chopping block for the cause of Christ. And I'm interested, what does this man have to say on the last leg of the journey? What does Paul have to tell Timothy? The last word that Timothy is going to receive from Paul in Scripture format. What is Paul going to tell Timothy about the last days? Well, let me say 3 or 4 things about how we respond. I want to preach on this thought. I hadn't had a title for each message, but tonight I want to title chapter 4. I want to preach on I'm getting ready to leave this world. That's exactly what Paul's doing in chapter 4. He's getting ready to leave this world. And can I say this, child of God? We are getting ready to leave this world. I'm glad soon and very soon we are going to see the King. The trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm getting ready. Are you ready tonight? I'm telling you, the burdens of this life have been so heavy and been so difficult, but I'm glad we're headed to a land that is fairer than day, where the shades of love lie deep, where there's no more sin, no more sorrow. I know it's Wednesday night, but bear with me. There's no more Satan, no more struggles, no more difficulties, no more Democrats. Somebody say amen right there. I'm just glad we're headed. No more Republicans for that matter. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, thank God, we're getting ready to leave this world. But until we do pull out, how am I supposed to live? Three or four things. Number one, in our text tonight, chapter 4, there must be, in these last days, listen to the church, there must be a commitment to preaching. Verses 1 through 5, if you're taking notes, there must be a commitment to preaching. Notice in this preaching, verse number 1, we find the charge to preach. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His kingdom, at His appearing and His kingdom. This word charge means to affirm. It means to put something on Timothy. Paul, the last thing he's telling Timothy, he is putting a charge. He is putting one last encouragement to young Timothy. It is a direct charge. It is a divine charge. He said, I charge thee, a divine charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and a deliberate charge, who shall judge both the quick and the dead. By the way, that quick and the dead, that quick is the saved folk. You have the quickened who were dead in your trespass and sin. And the dead, that's them dead folks that are dead in their trespass and sin. Are you with me tonight? He's going to judge them one day. By the way, when I get judged, I'm not going to be judged whether or not I got to heaven or not. It's going to be my service for the Lord to be judged. We'll speak of that here in just a moment. It is a direct charge, a divine charge, and a deliberate charge. In other words, as Brother Sammy Allen say, it's a serious thing. A lot of people are taking the work of God lightly, taking it flippantly and not taking it serious. And Paul is telling Timothy, son, the last thing you're going to hear out of me is I charge thee. I'm putting something on you, son. I want it to haunt you all through your life. In fact, son, I know he'd have it written for me. He said, but son, I want these words to echo in your heart till the day you die. I charge thee. Can I say this tonight? I thank God for the men of God who've went ahead of us, who have blazed a trail, and they have put a charge on us young preachers to stay faithful, stay committed to the King James Bible. Stay committed to the old time way. Stay on our knees in prayer. Stay sanctified and separated before the Lord. Amen. There is the charge in this preaching. Number two, there's the content in this preaching. Look at verse 2. Preach the word. He didn't say preach about the word. He didn't say preach around the word. He didn't say to preach from the word. He said preach the word. I do appreciate some preachers sometimes, Brother Nick, they'll get up and say, I'm going to preach from this verse. And that's exactly what they do. They read it and preach as far from it as they get. Amen. That's exactly right. One fellow said, I like Brother Chris Wimber, and he said, I heard a guy preach, and his message was like an eraser, a pencil with two erasers. No point. No Bible to it. Hey, Paul told Timothy, he said, I'll tell you, I want this to haunt you in the graveyard, Timothy. Preach the word. I'll never forget on August the 7th, 2002, down in South Georgia, where the mosquitoes are as big as sparrows. They'll pick you up and carry you off, man. I'm telling you, South Georgia, rough, man, copperheads crawling around, alligators, but that's where we had youth camp. What a wonderful place to have camp. Getting more alligators and copperheads and, you know, gnats and mosquitoes that big around will, you know, come out in the aisle singing nothing but the blood. That's where we went to camp, man. I never forget that Wednesday night. I like Wednesday nights. By the way, I got saved on a Wednesday night. And it was on Wednesday night at camp. But God got to moving, and I was a 10-year-old boy, and I was sitting back there in the junior. I was always mad because I never got to be in the senior boys because they quit the camp when I turned 12. When I could have been a senior boy. And we had to play beach ball, volleyball, one of them beach balls. We couldn't play with a real volleyball. And I was so mad about that. And I sit back there with the junior boys, and it's all cutting up. And I was sitting there, and God was touching my heart. And I didn't know what he was doing, but I felt like God was calling me to preach. And so I went down to that altar that night, and my daddy came up next to me. He said, what is it, son? I said, I feel like God's calling me to preach. Daddy got up and left me. Walked away.
Got another preacher come over and pray with me. And the preacher's not even in the ministry now. He knelt down beside me. He said, son, what's your problem? And I said, I feel like God's called me to preach. And he dropped his Bible down. He opened on 2 Timothy 4:2. He said, son, you read those first three words. And it said, preach the word. And the prayer bells of heaven kicked out in my soul. And somebody said, I don't believe that at 10 years old. Believe what you want to. I'm not bragging on myself. A lot of people didn't believe it 18 years ago. But here I stand preaching over 20 different states. And God allowed me to do some things, and I'm not bragging on me. It is nothing but the grace. I am what I am. I may not be much, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Can I say this? That verse that preacher put in my heart that night, and the Holy Ghost put in my heart that night, has never left. Preach the word. Said James Stewart, a great missionary preacher, when he's getting ready to die, he had no strength in his body. He preached for years, over 50, 60 years. And I've heard Ralph Sexton Jr. tell this. He said Dr. Stewart was laying in the bed dying. And he said, I saw his lips were moving. And he said, I couldn't hear. He said, I knelt down the bed and I said, Dr. Stewart, what are you trying to say? And he said, I finally had to put my ear right up next to his mouth. And he was saying, I must preach. I must tell. I must preach. I mean, laying on his deathbed. But that preach was still in his heart. Can I say this to these last? I know everybody ain't here, ain't preachers. Let them preach to the four or five of us that are here. In these last days, it's not time to come milquetoast and back down and become limp-wristed and flip-flop wearing and all that kind of crazy. I'm talking about preaching while you're wearing flip-flops. You don't wear flip-flops, help yourself. I don't like them. But I'm talking about preaching while you wear flip-flops. Say, man, I prefer Stacey Adams or Johnson Murphy's myself. But I'm just saying, I'm not compromising. Not going to the things of the world, but I'm telling you, having a desire in your heart to finish well, preach the word. Amen. The charge and the content of it. And by the way, everybody says they're preaching the word, ain't. They're preaching the parts they like. Amen. They preach the parts. It's amazing. All that crowd don't like standing in separation. They won't deal with 2 Corinthians 6:17 through 18. They won't deal with 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Amen. They won't deal with 2 Thessalonians 3:5, where it's the will of God that you abstain from fornication. Amen. They just don't feel led to go expository through those verses. Amen. It's like a Calvinist don't feel led to preach through John 3:16. But anyway, the content, preach the word. Then there's the conviction. Verse 2, it's the latter part. Watch what he said. Reprove. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's the job description of a preacher. Hang on, church folks. I'm going to get to you in a minute. I'm just letting this preacher's hat for a minute. Amen. That reprove means to blame. You look up the word. I looked up an 1828 dictionary. The word reprove means to blame. Somebody said, what do you mean blame? You blaming us? I'm blaming all of us for sin. That word rebuke, it means to reprimand for a fault. But then exhort means to excite or to give strength or courage. Long-suffering gives the idea of being patient. With all long-suffering, and doctrine is the Word of God. So when I preach, I have to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Two-thirds of that's negative. So I said, preacher, why are you always so negative? It's my calling. I mean, you think I'm bad, y'all read Jeremiah. Son, he come in and said, God's going to kill all of you. And he didn't say, God bless you. He just walked out. John the Baptist said, Jesus called them vipers from hell. And John the Baptist said, bring forth meat, you white as self. I mean, he doesn't let them have it. I'm sweet compared to those fellas. Amen. In fact, I feel a little ashamed of myself when I read their sermons. I'm just telling you. But I am to exhort the people of God as well and encourage them in the things of the Lord. There's the conviction. There's the congregation in verse 4 and 3 and 4. I thought I'd get to y'all. Paul gives Timothy some insight of what kind of crowd he's going to minister to in the last days. I tell you, Brother Nick, Brother Richie, I got to studying this. And I tell you, you ain't got to be a rocket scientist to see the 2020 church. Watch what he says. For the time will come. I knew the King James Bible were corrected, but the time has come. When they will not endure sound doctrine, after their own lusts shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Here's the congregation of the last day. Number one, have a lack of endurance. Also, they're not endure sound doctrine. Can I put it like this? Just can't take preaching. Brother Caden, I know Brother Caden does a lot. I know Brother Richie does to Ed Ballou a lot. Lord, if we bring Ed Ballou back from the dead from the 1970s and 80s, there wouldn't be nobody left here. I might not even hang out. I tell you, you talking about preaching, man? Lord, hell, Katie Barr, the door, all hands on deck, those men threw down and they preached. They didn't have the internet to preach against. They didn't have the pornography industry wasn't as prevalent then. You had to go hide it. Now you just get it on your phone, on your TV and all that. They didn't have that to contend with. They didn't have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and all that to contend with. Man, they preached the devil. Imagine how them men would preach now to the snowflake generation. Couldn't handle it. Just can't take preaching. There's going to be a longing for entertainment, but after their own lust will heap themselves teachers having itching ears. After their own lust. Not love. They don't love the Scriptures. They're lusting for what they want. That's a fleshly act. Longing to be entertained. And a loss of estimation. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 4 said they'd rather hear a story than to hear the truth. And that's not what's happening in a lot of our independent Baptist churches. Men will get up, and I give illustrations. I might get into that. But the whole message shouldn't be an illustration. It needs to be the book. Amen. Somebody said, well, Jesus gave illustrations. All right, read one. It'll take you less than 3 minutes. It wasn't the whole sermon. Read as long as parable. That's going to be probably Luke 16 or the rich man Lazarus. You can read that in 3 or 4 minutes. Amen. By the way, when Jesus preached, everything He said was the Word of God. That's exactly right. Because He was the Word of God. Amen. The congregation. The command, verse 5. So what am I going to do, Paul? They don't want to hear preaching. They want me to entertain them. They don't want to hear the truth. What should I do? Well, just do the best you can. No. Watch what he said. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make foolproof thy ministry. You know what he's saying? Man up, Timothy. Be a preacher. Be a man of God. If they don't like it, preach it anyway. He said be instant in season, out of season. That ain't talking about preaching a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day and a follow. That ain't what that's talking about, all right? You know what he's saying? He said preach it when they like it, preach it when they don't like it. I am blessed to pastor a church where they like preaching. Thank God for that. Amen. For there's been times I've preached, even there's been a couple times here in almost eight years where it's not been received as well. But thank God, by the grace of God, I'm still going to keep on preaching. There's some places I've gone where they didn't like it as much. I told Grace one time, I said, hey, we may have to fight our way out of here tonight, amen. She said, that'd be alright with me. I mean, I'm telling you. But even though they don't like it, we gotta preach the truth anyway. I'm not talking about being rude and being a jerk and being irreverent in the pulpit, but I'm talking about letting the Word of God doing the talking. By the way, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So, as a preacher, there ain't but 4 or 5 preachers here tonight, and there's a whole lot of rest of us here. I like one fellow said, it's good to have all the preachers here tonight and all you normal people. Because preachers are definitely not normal. Appreciate nobody saying amen right there. So I said, preacher, what does that got to do with us? You know, you need to have a commitment to preaching too. Oh, yeah, right. You know what the book of Amos says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. You don't want to be that congregation, verse 3 and 4. We do not want Safe Harbor Baptist Church to be a congregation that has a lack of endurance, a longing for entertainment, and a loss of estimation. We want to be a church that wants to be in verse number 2. We want to hear the Word. We want to have reproof, rebuke, instruction with all along. Hey, you know why I bring preachers in? Not just to be a blessing to you, but I need to be preached to. I need a man of God to preach to me, to tell me the truth. Amen. Lest I preach to others and I myself become a castaway. You know why I drove up to a meeting Monday night and this morning I didn't get called on to preach. Wasn't scheduled to preach when I went. I need to hear some preaching. Amen. So, in the last days, there's going to be a commitment to preaching. Number 2, there must be a constant preparation in the last days. I'm going to run through this one quickly. Verse 6, 7, and 8. He says, Paul began to speak personally about his present state and his walk with the Lord in his last days. How am I going to live in the last days? Number 1, I want to live a sacrificial life. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. What gets offered? A sacrifice. In Paul's last days on earth, he said, I'm ready to be offered. I understand he's probably talking about laying his head on Nero's chair. I understand the context. Can I say this? We as Bible-believing Christians, well, I live a sacrificial life before the Lord. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One of the signs of the last days, he told us in chapter 3, where men will be lovers of their own selves. We need to change that narrative in the church. Not be a selfish people. Be a selfless people. And sit and live a sacrificial life. I also want to live a settled life. Look at verse 6, the latter part. And the time of my departure is at hand. Paul is stating that he knows he's fixing to die, but you don't see Paul in a panic. You don't see Paul saying, I'm getting ready to die, Timothy. Paul said, time of my departure is at hand. So I said, preacher, how can you say that? Because I know in whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He said that in chapter 1, verse 12. Paul's done got it settled. Hey, let's live a settled life. I've already preached on that enough. Live a satisfied life. Verse number 7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know what I see in verse 7? Paul said, I ain't got no regrets. I don't regret serving Jesus. Paul said, I don't regret that day on the Damascus Road when he knocked me off my donkey and saved me, called me to preach. He said, I don't regret it. He said, I fought a good fight. He's talking as a soldier there. He said, I've warred a good warfare. He said, I finished my course. He's speaking as a sprinter there. He said, I've ran the course God gave me. He said, I've laid aside every weight and the sin was just so easy beset us. He said, I've run it. He said, I finished my course with joy. He said in Acts 20:24, he wanted to. 2 Timothy 4:7, he did it. He speaks to the soldier, I fought a good fight. A sprinter, I finished my course. Speaks to the saint, I've kept the faith. Paul said, I ain't laid down and quit. I still believe just like I believed when I got saved. I want to live a spiritual life in verse number 8. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Somebody said, preacher, what does that mean? Well, Paul said, I ain't living for the temporal. I'm living for that crown. I'm living for eternal things. I'm not laying up treasures on the earth where thieves can break in and moth and dust can corrupt. He said, no. I'm living laying up treasure in heaven. I'd say the Apostle Paul's got a few crowns. I'd say Paul probably is the only one who's got all five. He was a pastor. He was a martyr. He was definitely a soul winner. Amen. I understood that. Bob probably the only one who got all five. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe some other men, but I know Paul got them. And by the way, Paul ain't going to put one on his head. He just cast them all at Jesus' feet. Can I ask you a question tonight, and I'm moving quickly. Ask yourself, what am I living for? And will it be in heaven? Very sobering question tonight. What am I living for? And will it be in heaven? Number 3, I'm hurrying. Not only must there be a commitment to preaching, not only must there be a consistent I'll be back. We pause this program for technical difficulties. Are you tired? Back aching? No, I'm scared. Call the next 15 minutes. We'll double that order for free with your credit card. All right, there we go. I'm back. Did y'all miss me? All right. He said there needs to be a continued perseverance. Verse 10 through 15. You see Paul's humanity in verse number 10. He said, Timothy, you've got to continue through some difficulty. Number 1, he said, you got to continue in spite of those that forsake you. What you said in verse 10, he said, for demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. Hitchcock's Bible Dictionary defines Demas' name as popular. Demas was a part of the Apostle Paul's ministry, according to the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verse 24. But somewhere along the way, he got sidetracked. Paul's telling Timothy, he said, son, they've done it to me. People's going to forsake you. People's going to leave you. People's going to hurt you. People's going to do you wrong. What happened to Demas? He was weak in his loyalty, for Demas had forsaken me. He was worldly in his love, having loved this present world. He was wrong in his leaving. He went to Thessalonica. If you study out Thessalonica, it was a very, very wicked city. That's where Demas went. Demas is probably in heaven today, but he forsook the Apostle Paul. Hey, can I say this? What are you going to do if your best friend quits on God? You ever thought about that? What are you going to do, God forbid, if your preacher quits on God? I don't make no plans to do it. But you better be able to continue. I've seen over the years in church, I've seen people maybe leave church and then their friends leave because they didn't have no friends here. Which told me they wasn't here for the Lord, they was here for their friends. That should not be the driving force of it. driving forth. It's amazing when people join here and say, the Lord sent me here, until their friends leave, then they leave with their friends. Amen. Ain't that funny how the Lord just told both sets of friends to go? I always find that interesting. Amen. Sorry. Ponderings of a aging pastor. Demas, he said, you got to continue in spite of those that forsake you. He said, then you got to continue in spite of those that fight against you. Look at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be without where also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He said, Timothy, you know Alexander. He said, he did me much evil. How many of you men remember the Jeff Brown's message you preached at the men's conference a couple years ago on beware of Alexander? He said, if he done it, Paul's telling Timothy, he said, Timothy, if he done it to me, he'll do it to you. And I've said this for years, I'll say it quickly. Once people get a taste of preacher blood and church blood, they're never satisfied. Just like a rabid dog, they ever get a taste of human blood, they're never satisfied. So I said, preacher, it ain't that way. You look at this preacher, it's the truth. Got quiet right there. It shouldn't have got quiet right there. It's a good place to stay with me. Amen. You got to continue in spite of those that forsake you. You got to continue in spite of those that fight against you. Here's the last thing. There needs to be a commitment to preaching. There needs to be a constant preparation. There must be a continued perseverance. But last of all, there must be a conscious perception. So as a preacher, what do you mean? Well, people are leaving Paul and fighting against Paul. But everybody ain't left. Watch this. You need to get your eyes on the fellowship of the laborers. Look at verse 11. He said, only Luke is with me. He said, Demas forsook me and Alexander fought against me, but I still got old Luke. Amen. I wrote this down. I preached it here last year. When Paul's a dying, Paul don't need a coppersmith in prison. But he sure could use a physician. Paul's been beat to a pulp and he's dying, and a coppersmith wouldn't do him any good. But old Dr. Luke sitting there with him said, hey, Paul, it's time to take your medicine. Paul, can I bind up your wounds? Hey, God knows what you need when you need it. He said, Luke's with me. He said, hey, when you come, bring Mark with you. He's profitable for the ministry. Mark's the future. See, Luke's his friend, but Mark's his future. He said, bring the forgiven, because, you know, Mark left in Acts, but he got right with God and come back. Amen. Men, look at this. I got to say this quickly. I hadn't preached on this here. I preached it on the road, but I hadn't preached it here yet. Look at verse 10. He mentions some other people. He mentions three people. Crescens, Tychius, and Carpus. I call them the forgotten. So I said, preacher, why do you call them forgotten? Okay, you tell me what you know about them. We don't know anything about them. But here's what we do know. Crescens, I call him the one who is dedicated. As far as we know, this is the only time he's mentioned in the Word of God. But here's what we know about him. We know he was growing. His name means increasing. You know what Paul's telling Timothy? He said, thank God they're still around and some of us are still growing in grace. He said, then he's going to Galatia. He said, he's going to tell the message. Thank God for those that don't need a billboard, don't need their names in lights, but they're just going and serving God anyway. Hey, I'm looking forward to meeting Christians because God gave him honorable mention in the Word of God. He didn't write a book. Don't know if he started a church, but he was growing in the Lord. He was trying to tell folks about the Lord. That's pretty good. Then there's Tychius. I call him the dispatch. Because Tychius is mentioned five times in the Bible. You know what he's always doing? He's delivering a letter. This is from Paul. He delivers the book of Colossians. He delivers the book of Philemon. Philemon and who's the fella? Onesimus. Thank you. I knew it was called with an O. And he delivered that. Hey, just a man delivered the word. And then there's Carpus. You know what we know about Carpus? You ready? Verse number 13. The cloak which I left at Troas of Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Here's what we know about Carpus. You ready? He could hold a coat. So I said, preacher, what does that got to do with anything? Tells me he was a servant. He said, hey, Carpus got my coat. He said, if you don't mind, stop by his house. He's been holding on to it for me. Thank God for people that they, it's a preacher, I ain't got much talent, but I can do this and I can do that. I can clean the church. I can do this. Holding the coat. Thank God. Amen. Encourage Paul. Fellowship of the labor. But last of all, by the way, there's Timothy and Titus. He's writing to them. That's the future. Here's the last thing, though. in the last days, he said, get your eyes on the fellowship of the laborers, but there's the faithfulness of the Lord. Verse 16, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preacher might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, Timothy, you're going to be forsaken. You're going to be fought against. You're going to be forgotten. He said, I felt that way. Nobody's standing me. He said, but Timothy, I want to remind you, the Lord stood with me. Amen. Thank God. He said, He stood with me in verse 17. He strengthened me in verse 17. He saved me in verse 17 and 18. He said, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That's past tense. He said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. That's present tense. And will preserve me into His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is the promise of deliverance. He said, God's took care of my past. He's taking care of my present. And He's going to take care of my future. Now, we're living in 2020. The year of the crazies. I mean, just to be honest with you. Burning cities down, burning Bibles, padlocking churches, suing churches for having church in their buildings that they have bought and paid for. Goofy, ain't it? The hornets didn't stick around for about a week. I guess somebody got some raid and killed the hornets. Okay, took care of that. Wish there was some raid for the coronavirus. Could have got rid of that. We've had the hornets, had the impeachments. You know, Nancy Pelosi lost her teeth. I mean, just been a crazy year. Now the line's going to be college football. I didn't care when the Big Ten, the Pac-12 dropped out. They ain't no good anyway. Just let the SEC and Clemson play and we'll be good. Hey, man, we'll let West Virginia come on in just because we're nice. We need somebody to beat. Everything's getting crazy. I mean, there are cardboard cutouts of the Atlanta Braves game tonight. There are cutouts of dogs in the stands watching the game. Freddie Freeman the other night came out and done a curtain call for all the cardboard. I mean, just, it's goofy we're living in this world. Joe Biden, he actually emerged from his basement the other day, we saw. And he picked his vice president, the first black vice president who's not black. Just like the first black president who wasn't black. But anyway, interesting how all that works out. It's, okay. Kind of like, I guess like the Pocahontas deal. So, I think I got more black in me than the vice president does. But anyway, y'all right? I hope you are, because we're living in a crazy world. And if you focus on it long enough, it'll drive you crazy. You know what the news media ain't telling you? Brother Mike, they ain't telling about the suicides. This went up. Not telling you about the kids in abusive homes. And then the pedophile act. And save the children. I'm just going to tell you right now, you can turn the camera off. We ever catch somebody messing around with a kid around here? Whatever's left of them, the police can have. Yeah. Amen. I mean, what, especially if it's my boy. Yeah. Amen. I don't mind prison ministry. Amen. Amen. Anyway, just crazy. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Just preach to the captive audience. Just preach. Amen. But it's just a crazy world we're living in. Crazy world. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's getting ready to die. Ain't none of us heading to a chopping block, are we? That ain't on your schedule for tomorrow, is it? That's on Paul's. And Paul said, but, you know, the Lord stood with me. He strengthened me. And Paul said, He's going to deliver me from every evil work. So apparently his execution wasn't evil work. Because all things work together for good to them that love God. So Paul said, even me get my head chopped off. When he said, boys, put it right here. Because by that time that blade hits right here, I'm going to be absent from my body, but I'm going to be present with the Lord. Don't threaten me with heaven. Can I say this, child of God, in these last days, don't get so caught up with the world that you forget. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Thank God we're heading out of here one day. But until we do, let's be committed to preaching. Let's be constantly prepared. Let's persevere. Be faithful. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Stay faithful. Love one another. Stay faithful to the Lord. And God will bless. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. A couple of verses.